This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have so much to get into in today's show. Let me give you the brief itinerary of what we have planned. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk about Noah Cameron. At this point, the Royals need to make space for Noah Cameron. I know that right now Cole Ragans is dealing with some injuries. I know that right now Seth Lugo is dealing with some injuries. And this team has one of the best rotations in all of baseball. And it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about that they weren't going to have a spot for Noah Cameron. That conversation should be over for now. He has played his way onto the Royals roster, played himself into the Royals rotation. So it's time to figure something out with somebody else. But he is not the one who is going to be displaced, or he shouldn't be, once everything gets back to normal when talking about the Royals bullpen and their rotation. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. We'll talk about how we have one half of the NBA Finals locked up as Oklahoma City BTA yesterday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm talking about an absolute drubbing yesterday. A beatdown yesterday that they gave out. And now we're looking to see who they're going to play in the NBA Finals, either the New York Knicks or the Indiana Pacers. The Chiefs have OTAs. Patrick Mahomes spoke today. So a lot of things that are happening today in sports. And we appreciate you guys being here with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Before we move forward, let me remind you guys to listen to the show every day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, if you guys could tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would really appreciate it if that was the case. But you know what? Beggars can be choosers. We would just appreciate if you could tell one person to check out the show. So we talked about this a little bit toward the end of the show yesterday, but let's bring it back. We're going to have Fesco join us at some point in today's show. Also, Jonathan Katz, who has been covering this thing from the beginning, he's going to be on the show. So if you missed the story, the Royals confirmed that one of their affiliates bought the mortgage on the Asperia campus in Overland Park. So we are talking about around 119th and all. The Royals purchased the mortgage on the Asperia campus. So to give you guys a summary of everything, the Royals have come on and released a statement and said they have not decided on a site, and any assertion to the contrary is inaccurate. They are on ongoing negotiations, and they are looking at sites that are both in Kansas and Missouri, but they have acquired the land, or at least the mortgage, on this space. So this is 119th and all. This is home to the old Sprint campus. The report is that this was sold to the Royals on May 9th for roughly $164 million. The Royals come out and say that they remain committed to finding a generational home for the team, that our fans, club, partners, and associates and our regional community can enjoy for decades to come. That was a statement from the Royals. I don't think that we will hear anything else about the Royals, at least about this subject, until a later date. So this is where I think we should start with this conversation. I think there are two clear paths that this can go. Number one, I think you can take this as the Royals are potentially tired of dealing with the back and forth with Missouri and are moving forward and proceeding and taking care of what they need to for a very logical destination for them in organization. This was a question that I asked a long time ago about the Royals, and I think we will get our answer sooner rather than later. Are the Royals looking for a new stadium, or are the Royals looking for a new downtown stadium? I know that some of you wish and want them to stay at the Truman Sports Complex. There's a part of me that would love for them to stay at the Truman Sports Complex. The Royals have made it clear at every single turn that is not their wish, that they are going to move at some point. Now, the Royals have always spun this like they have a vision of downtown baseball. 119th and all is not downtown baseball. It's going to be a new stadium. It's going to be in Johnson County. I'm sure it's going to be beautiful, and it is going to be one of the best modern stadiums in all of baseball. But that's not the vision that they have at least expressed and communicated to us throughout this process. If the Royals are looking for a brand new, beautiful stadium in the suburbs, I'm certainly not going to fault them. We had Dan Hawkins on the show last week, and the plan that he proposed about how they want to fund the stadiums and the efforts that they are make to entice the Royals and Chiefs to move over to state, move across the state line, I thought was a pretty convincing argument. And the Royals are certainly doing their due diligence in investigating, checking relatively spots, and trying to figure out a financial package to go out and get them. So I think step one is the Royals could potentially be done with the back and forth and the BS that is happening on the Missouri side, and they are now moving forward on their own accord to try to solve their own problem. Let's start figuring out the land. Let's start figuring out the funding. And in the next 30 days, the next 60 days, we plan on announcing what our plan is for the future of the Kansas City Royals. I also think there is another side of this argument, and maybe this is me looking at it through the Missouri lens. And I'm also going to remove the comments that we've heard from the mayor of Kansas City, because he has remained positive through this. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure if we can take all of that positivity for what it's worth on this subject. It's been a while since we've seen the Missouri side get a win. The Kansas side continues to rack up wins. This is a win for the Kansas side. If you are somebody that wants to see the teams over on that state line, this is a positive news story. But, and I think this is worth discussing and something that we need to keep in mind, this could be a simple leverage play. I'm going to play for you some cuts coming up in a bit from Jonathan Ketz, where Jonathan Ketz says they believe that the Royals would be able to purchase this for $164 million, and they will be able to flip this for more money than what they paid to acquire it. This is less money than Asperia used to acquire the mortgage for this property. So you were saying that you got a real estate deal and you got it for 70 cents on the dollar. And now you think in a year, in 2 years, you're going to be able to flip that $164 million and turn it into $250 million. That seems like something as an organization you'd be interested in wanting to do and pick up a free $100 million or so. I also think that there is a possibility that the Royals are simply using this as leverage, as we know that Missouri is coming to a special session vote to see if they can get something passed. Now, the time is starting to run out for Missouri. Kansas is starting to get all of their ducks in a row, or have had their ducks in a row for a very, very long period of time. The Royals are starting to buy land or acquire mortgages on that side of state line. If you continue to not come up with a solid concrete plan on how to fund this thing, you are going to lose them. We're talking about less than a month now at this point. The Kansas deadline for the Star Bonds is June 30th. I firmly believe that by the time football starts, by the time the Chiefs go to St. Joe, I believe that we are going to know what the future of the Royals looks like. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to make that announcement at some point over the summer, but I firmly believe this is our last summer debating on where the stadium is going to be. I believe that the Royals, at some point here in the next 90 days, are going to give us a concrete plan of what they are doing. I think the Royals are doing this a lot different than they handled it the last time. The last time, they let a lot of this play out in the open and play out right in front of us. I think they're doing their business in silence this time. hey, we're locking up this deal, we're doing this, we're having these conversations. We're going to wait to see what money Missouri can come up with, because I still think that's their number one option. I think their number one option and their preference would be that the bill gets passed in Missouri. That's going to be a substantial windfall. They are working together with the city to build a new stadium in Washington Square Park and in downtown Kansas City. But if that doesn't pass, and if that fails coming up in a month or so, I think you leave them no choice but to move across state line and build their forever home in the state of Kansas. So I think we are getting toward the end of this back and forth. And I know some of you simply don't want to care about the day to day and simply want the, hey, tell us where the stadium is going to be. I do think in a lot of ways we are getting close to this, but this is big time news. If you missed it, the Royals confirmed that through an affiliate, they bought the mortgage on the Asperia campus in Overland Park. This is over on 119th and Knoll. This is the old Sprint campus. The Business Journal is reporting that this was sold to the Royals or the affiliate on May 9th for roughly $164 million. So this is a significant financial investment that you have made in this property. Is this a property that you're going to end up having to flip and you'll flip it for a little bit of a profit? Or is this the building block of you building your stadium over on 119th and all? I believe we're going to have our answer to that at some point this summer. Coming up on the other side, I want you to hear what Jonathan Ketz had to say about this. We'll also talk about the Royals from an on-the-field perspective and what are they going to do with Noah Cameron. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to talk about the Royals in an on-the-field standpoint coming up in just a bit, but I want you guys to hear from John Ketz. He does fantastic work with Fox 4. We asked him, what do the Royals, or what does buying this mortgage mean for the Royals? If you missed it, they have purchased the mortgage for the Asperia campus on 119th and all. We asked John Ketz what that means.
Well, I think Occidental Management, who owns that property, who I believe still owns that property, they're out of Wichita. I think they've had trouble paying off the mortgage, paying off their loan, and it's become known in the investment and the banking community. I think the Royals are either A, they're interested in that site, or B, it's interesting that this has come out right before the Missouri legislature goes back to Jeff City in what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days to talk about a sports incentive package for both the Chiefs and the Royals. So what I'm trying to figure out is whether this is a leverage play for the Royals, or they are truly serious about this site. And hopefully we know more once the Missouri legislature goes back to Jeff City. But, you know, star bonds run out in the end of June, and the special session should be wrapped up before then. So hopefully we have answers in less than a month.
You guys know that I love a good relationship analogy. Missouri is in danger of losing their girl, and they're not even putting up a strong fight on why she should stay in the relationship. The state of Missouri does not have a plan in place to pay for the stadium. It was funny because I was reading a study that St. Louis University put together a month ago, and it was talking about people's not wanting to help pay for the stadium. The same argument that we heard a year ago. it's not our responsibility to pay for this. You guys want this stadium. You're billionaires. You guys should pay for it. And in theory, I 100% agree with you guys. John Sherman is worth far more money than you or I. You can come up with enough private capital and private equity that you guys can pay for this stadium and not be a burden on taxpayers. All of that sounds good. That's not the world that we live in. Someone is going to pay for this stadium. There are two possible options, it sounds like, to pay for this stadium. One is Johnson County. One is Missouri and Jackson County coming together to pay for this stadium. But we as a collective are not getting out of paying for this stadium. Not if you want to keep the team. That's just not how this works. So if Missouri continues to not have a plan in place on how you are going to help fund the stadium, then we're not having a conversation here. Then the Royals are going to move to 119th and all, or they're going to move somewhere out by the Legends, and then we can stop having this conversation, and then you can drive over there if you want to continue to watch baseball games. There's really nothing to debate then at that point. I think the point that Ketz is making is, I think, a very, very fair one. There are two pills right now. It's like the Matrix, the red pill and the blue pill. The red pill is, this is all a leverage play, that the billion-dollar company acquired something for them at a relatively low cost that they believe best-case scenario is we potentially flip this property, we flip this mortgage at a profit, and it's a no harm, no foul, or worst-case scenario is we end up building our stadium here and Kansas is going to play for 70% of it. It's not a bad position to be in if you're the billion-dollar company that is looking to buy and build a new baseball stadium. So that is what Ketz thinks. Let's continue on. Here he is talking about the timeline that he believes for some sort of resolution on this topic.
I think that, again, that hinges on the special session coming up in Missouri. I guess the only other thing that I would add is, I think that if we're talking about a new stadium for the Royals, and that's always what they've talked about, the Chiefs have seemingly discussed a renovation at Arrowhead if they're not going to build new in Kansas. I mean, this project would have to start soon. Otherwise, again, you got to give credit over to Thomas Friesen over the Business Journal. He was also the one that reported on how, you know, there are 2 5-year extension leases at the Truman Sports Complex. So they could extend their lease for either 5 or 10 years. And if the ball isn't rolling on a new stadium and the Royals don't know where they're going to build, they may have to play games at Kauffman Stadium starting in the 2031 Major League Baseball season.
I believe the Royals have made it very clear that's not what they want to do. I think that the next time that the Royals come to us about the stadium, I don't think they're asking for permission anymore. The first time they asked for permission, hey guys, we have this idea. This is where we think the stadium should be, but we need your help in order for it to be there. And the public pretty resoundingly told them, no, we're good. For whatever reason, we don't like where the stadium is. We don't like your plan for the stadium. We don't think that we should pay the sales tax to continue to help you pay for the stadium. Whatever reason you think that the people voted no, they told you no. I don't think the next time that the Royals propose this idea and the next time that John Sherman steps in front of a microphone to tell us what the plan is, I don't think that plan is coming with us asking for anything. I think that comes to them telling us what's going to happen. Hey, we're building on 119th and all. We're going to take these star bonds and Kansas has agreed to X. This is what we have agreed to. This is our plan on when we are moving. Or it is going to be a joint press conference with the mayor of Kansas City and the owner of the Kansas City Royals. We have reached an agreement to break ground in downtown Kansas City. We don't need your vote to do this. This is what we are doing. I think that is the next time that we will get a concrete update from the Kansas City Royals. I think a lot of you are asking this question. What does this mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? Here's John Ketz.
I mean, I think the Chiefs would love to be untied from the Royals with the county, meaning I think that they would either A, like for the Royals to be in Kansas, B, like for the we haven't even talked about North Kansas City, B, for the Royals to be there, or C, be at Washington Square Park and no longer getting county sales tax dollars. And something that I have heard, which may be interesting, I mean, I'm wondering if the Chiefs would be willing to be on a November ballot in Jackson County by themselves. I think that's a that's something else that I would love to confirm here soon.
I think what John Ketz just proposed is the best case scenario for the Chiefs staying in Missouri. Rob, I want your opinion on this, and we will talk about Noah Cameron here coming up in just a bit. If you are someone that desperately wants the Royals and the Chiefs to remain on the Missouri side, I think this is the pathway for it to happen. The Missouri plan that they are about to vote on here coming up in a couple of weeks in the special session, that gets passed. It will allow the state to help pay for the Royals and also help pay for a renovation. In this scenario, the Kansas City Royals would just no longer take the 3/8 of a cent sales tax. They won't take their portion as it is set to expire. They will just get their money from another avenue. The Chiefs then come back around, and the money that we used to pay that was going to the Royals to help pay for the renovations, help pay for all of those things, the Chiefs now just come in and say, well, all of that money needs to be ours now. We were splitting $250 million. We're not splitting $250 million anymore. We want the $250 million by ourselves, and here is the sales tax initiative that we don't have to split this anymore. We want to renovate Arrowhead, and we want all of this money to help with said renovation. I think that is the best case scenario if they are staying in Missouri. I do not think, based on all the information that we have, that Missouri and or Jackson County is preparing to build the Chiefs and the Royals a new stadium. I don't think that. And the bill that they are talking about passing does not involve building the Chiefs a new stadium. It is for a renovation at Arrowhead. It is for a new stadium for the Royals. So the Royals get a brand new shiny stadium in downtown Kansas City. And we, the taxpayers, agree to a substantial upgrade to the current structure over at the Truman Sports Complex, and the Chiefs renew their lease, they sign on, and basically we pay for the renovation that they would have. I think that's the best case scenario if you were talking about the Chiefs and the Royals both staying in Kansas City, Missouri.
I think that is absolutely best case scenario. But let me ask you a question as a person who you would probably want both in the same Missouri. Do you think the best case scenario is the most likely outcome? Because I would say what you just laid out and what Jonathan Ketz said could happen are the massive underdogs as far as gambling. Because part of Jonathan Ketz's cut there is, hey, once we have some clarity on the Royals, may the Chiefs be willing to, in November, go back on the ballot. I don't think the Chiefs are waiting to November to make a decision. I think the Chiefs are going to stare, and the Royals are going to do the following. They're going to keep a keen eye on the special session, which starts on Monday. They're going to see what comes out of the special session, and then they are going to make a decision then and there. The Royals and Chiefs have dragged this out now for, what, 14, 15 months? Maybe more? The vote was in April of 24. It's almost June of 25. It's been a long process. I think now, as a person who lives on the Kansas side, what I think is going to happen is whatever happens in the special session ends the conversation. If money is going to both the teams, I think the conversation keeps, you know, we figure it out. And now that there's a deal on both sides of the state line, we figure it out. But if the session fails, which right now there's a group called the Freedom Caucus that is determined to create gridlock to kill the bill.
I mean, it certainly doesn't feel good that it's going to pass.
That's a thing. I think on, what would it be, June 5th, because it's a 3-day session. If the thing fails, I think now we know the Royals are going to say, well, we gave it an honest effort, Missouri. We're going to Hesperia. And I think the Chiefs will say, hey, we gave it an honest effort, Jackson County. We gave it an honest effort, Missouri. But you guys couldn't figure it out. The star bond deadline's in 2 weeks. We're out of here. See ya. I think the outcome of that special session will change the fabric of Kansas City, potentially for the foreseeable future. Because they get something done, me and you will be having these same arguments on, you know, June 28th. I think if they don't, both teams are going to point to the failure in Jeff City, the failure of the vote, the failure of the city, the failure everywhere in Missouri, and say, guys, you messed this up. We're out of here.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, are there any MLB parks that are located in the middle of a nice suburb? This is basically what just happened in Atlanta. What happened in Atlanta is their ballpark was in the city. They then were trying to figure it out. The team simply didn't want to be in the city anymore, and then they moved their team to the suburbs. So I'm sure there are other examples, but the one that comes to mind is this is basically the same argument that Atlanta just had. Atlanta paid for the brand new football stadium right next to the one that they had. They had the Georgia Dome. They then built a beautiful, beautiful stadium for the Atlanta Falcons, and they were happy to let the baseball team move to the suburbs. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when it comes to this. But no, that is the example. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, how many times are we going to renovate or put a Band-Aid on Arrowhead? If either team deserves a new stadium, it's the Chiefs. I want the Chiefs in Missouri, but only if it is in a renovated stadium. I'd rather them go to Kansas and get a brand new stadium. Tired of Band-Aids. My stance on this is simple. It's how do you view Arrowhead? If you look at Arrowhead like it's Cameron Indoor Stadium, like it's Allen Fieldhouse, like it's Lambeau Field, like it's Fenway, like it's Wrigley, then you want to renovate it. If you don't see it like that, then yeah, build a new stadium. I mean, if you look around the National Football League, most of the teams that have those iconic stadiums growing up, they tore them down and they built a new one. Mile High Stadium, they tore it down and they built a new one. Three Rivers for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they built it down and they built a new one. Heinz Field, the Patriots, they had an iconic stadium. They tore it down and they built a new one.
The Yankees.
They tore down Yankee Stadium. So the question to me is very simple. If you guys see Arrowhead like Lambeau and think that it is that kind of destination, then they should keep it. Then you pay what the Packers have no conversation about building a new stadium. Every time it comes up, they just put more money into the stadium that they have. When the Red Sox, they're not talking about moving out of Fenway. No, we'll keep putting money into this stadium because we think that this is a part of history. If you don't think that's what Arrowhead is, and if you consider the renovations to be Band-Aids in that point, then yeah, tear it down. Hey, it was fun. We're going to build it over here. We're going to have this nice new stadium. We'll get WrestleMania. We'll get the Final Four. We'll get all this cool stuff to it, and you'll just start over. That's not the worst thing in the world that can happen, but I just think at this point, this is the fork in the road to determine what kind of stadium you think that it is. If you think that it's Fenway, then they're not tearing it down. If you think that it's Soldier Field, then yeah, they're turning it. They're going to tear it down. They tore down, or they're going to tear down Soldier Field, and they are going to build a stadium in the suburbs of Chicago. I think that's all I think we know pretty clearly that's how this story is going to end, at least in Chicago. Let's talk about the Royals from an on-the-field standpoint. It seems very, very simple to me. Noah Cameron cannot go anywhere. Noah Cameron, since coming up, has pitched 25 and two-thirds inning. He has given up 3 earned runs. He has an ERA of 1.05. Noah Cameron is not going back down to Omaha or Northwest Arkansas or wherever he was before he got here permanently. Now, I know that when we had this conversation, which is funny, now a month ago, remember, he pitched on, it hasn't even been a month since his first start. It was on April 30th against the Tampa Bay Rays, and he was phenomenal. He pitched 6 1/3, gave up 1 hit, didn't give up an earned run. He was great in that. He then had to go back down. He's come back up for 3 starts because of the injuries that they have. In those 3 starts, 19 1/3 innings, he's given up 12 hits in those starts, 3 earned runs. He has been with 13 strikeouts and just 3 walks. He has been amazing. So we are not talking about trading Noah Cameron. We are not talking about moving him to the bullpen. We are not talking about him going back down to anywhere. You now have your position gridlocked. They say, oh, well, you can't lose your job to injury. Yes, you can. Now, I'm not saying that Reagans is losing his job. I'm not saying that Seth Lugo is losing his job. But when those two guys get back, hey, one of y'all got to go. So whether it's Michael Lorenzen going to the bullpen or it's possibly a trade that could happen coming up in the next 3 weeks or so, I know one person that doesn't need to be going anywhere, Rob. It's Noah Cameron. He has earned his way onto this rotation. He has been phenomenal so far this year. You're not doing anything with him.
I actually think I agree with you first and foremost. He's not going anywhere. I think him being good creates more interesting conversations because I think Michael Lorenzen goes to the bullpen. I think that's the end-all be-all, or at least that's the plan on May 31st. But Noah Cameron's success means someone in the rotation is now expendable, Carrington. Like, I wouldn't trade Noah Cameron because his contract is pennies on the dollar. He's a lefty, and he has shown value. He's basically Chris Bubich, except for not as good as Chris Bubich contract-wise. I think the Royals are probably looking at this with licking their lips, licking their chops, whatever the term, because now Seth Lugo becomes expendable. I mean, I know Seth Lugo's great. I know Seth Lugo was, what, Bink loves the stat that he finished, what, second last year in the Cy Young voting? Seth Lugo's awesome. I think if Seth Lugo comes back up, and he's scheduled, according to Andy Rogers, to come back up and start on Friday, if he comes back up and's good, I think he's your trade bait. He's a guy whose contract's expiring at the end of the year. He's shown he is good. He's due for a new contract. You and I don't think that contract is coming in Kansas City. If you're the Royals, Noah Cameron's success does not mean he's on the trade block. It doesn't mean he's a bullpen piece. It doesn't mean he goes back to Omaha and tinkers and refines some things. I think it means J.J. Piccolo can start making calls and saying, what can I get back for Seth Lugo? What bat do I get for Seth Lugo? Because everyone points to Michael Lorenzen, and that's the obvious answer. But Michael Lorenzen doesn't have a ton of value. If you trade Michael Lorenzen, what are you getting back? A solid player, but you're not getting a lineup-changing bat. Seth Lugo, however, you trade him, and you could get a lineup-changing bat. So I think right now, Noah Cameron, I agree with you, he ain't going back to Omaha, he ain't going to the bullpen, and he might be having Seth Lugo pack his bags with his success if Lugo shows to be healthy and good coming off the IL.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, you're right about Noah Cameron, but eventually he's going to regress. No one has seen him. They don't have video. Once they get more information, he'll come back down to earth. Yeah, of course. But I also think we say that, though. I mean, the guy right now has a 1 ERA. I don't think that's what his ERA is going to be this year. But if you were telling me right now that the Royals have a cost-controlled pitcher who is 25 years old, that is from St. Joseph, Missouri, that guy shouldn't be going anywhere. He's making peanuts right now. Nothing. So, yes, you're right. He is absolutely going to regress to the mean at some point. What does regressing to the mean look like right now for a guy who is making $700,000, who they have arbitration on for the next couple of years? Talk about no money at this point. Nothing. So, no, we'll figure something out with Seth Lugo. We'll figure something out with Michael Lorenzen. There ain't really nothing to figure out right now with Noah Cameron. He's staying. He's 25 years old. He's homegrown. He's staying here. So I'm looking at Seth Lugo's contract, and you make a really good point. Seth Lugo signed a 3-year, $45 million deal, and he has a player option for next year. So if we're looking ahead just a little bit, let's cut it in half, at least for right now. So they owe Seth Lugo probably $22 million between now and then for a guy who last year had a career year, is battling with a little bit of injury right now, but you think is going to come back this week. He's scheduled to pitch on Friday. If he pitches well for the next month or so, he certainly will be somebody that teams will call around the deadline and potentially look to add a starter. It does feel like they have a logjam right now. Somebody on the text line says, what do you guys feel about a 6-man rotation? I'm not super interested right now in a 6-man rotation when you have assets that you can use to repair an offense right now that is 26th in the major leagues. So having 6 starters when you can package a Seth Lugo and potentially go get yourself an outfield bat that can play every day for you guys, because I'm guessing, I don't know this because I don't watch enough baseball with all the other teams, but I'm guessing there's some teams right now that could desperately use a starter that they trust. The same way that you desperately need a bat and feel like that's what's holding you back, I'm guessing there's a team right now that they don't trust their third or their fourth starter, and they feel like that's going to be the reason why they missed the postseason. But you know what? They got a 24-year-old outfielder that maybe they could part with because they got a logjam. The same way that when you had Brady Singer, there was a team that had the leadoff hitter that you needed. I think there could be a very similar situation for Seth Lugo. So I think that's a really good observation. Right now, the contract is certainly something that you can move. It's basically a year and a half of club control for around $23, $22 million. He might be somebody where you take Seth Lugo out of the rotation, sell while his value is still relatively high, and you replace him with the 25-year-old Noah Cameron. I mean, Noah Cameron is a decade younger than Seth Lugo. I'm not interested in moving Noah Cameron around to accommodate 35-year-old Seth Lugo.
I don't mind the idea of a 6-man rotation for a month. Like, hey, if you're going to go 6-man rotation to get Seth Lugo back up to speed, cool. I'm fine with that idea from June 1st to June 30th, but come the 4th of July, come the All-Star break, no. A bat is far more valuable than six-man rotation. So if that's the, you know, like the text earlier about Arrowhead, if that's the Band-Aid is a six-man rotation in the short term, I'm cool with that. But that can't be the plan post-deadline. It's got to be six-man rotation with the eyes on someone is getting moved. But the Royals have the best problem imaginable. Carrington, when we were kids, the Royals didn't have one pitcher. Now they have six quality arms. That's a really good problem to have, and it makes the other problem you have super correctable because pitching, as Dayton Moore used to always say, was the currency of baseball.
Coming up on the other side, we have an update to what's happening in New Orleans. There were 10 inmates. Eight have been captured and are back in custody. There are still two that are out there. We have an update. We'll get to it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. So you guys know that we are committed to keeping you updated on what is happening in New Orleans. For those of you that have not been keeping up with the story, let me give you all the news and notes. There were 10 men in a New Orleans prison. They escaped. Now, there were some early arrests. There was a inside job. There was a Sarah Tancredi helping them. They caught three of them quick. I mean, bat, bat, bat. One of the individuals got captured in the French Quarter in New Orleans, which is a 10-minute walk from the jail. They had a 7-hour head start. They escaped, they believe, around 1 a.m., and they do a roll call at 8:30 at this prison. 7-hour head start, got caught 10 minutes down the street. So we are not talking about some Richard Kimball level criminal masterminds here. They then, you know, every couple of days, they've been finding more and more. So heading into Memorial Day, I asked Rob, I set the over-under at 1.5. At that point, they had had 5 people captured. They had half the people captured in less than 2 weeks. We set the over-under at 1.5. If you took the over, go to the ticket, claim your window, or go to the window and claim your ticket, because 3 people got captured. So if you do the math, 10 people escaped. They are down to the final 2. 8 of them have been captured. Now, up until this point, the reward for turning them in was $20,000. If you offered up a tip that led to an arrest, they'll give you $20,000. Today, they announced that they are going to up the reward to $50,000 is enough for your cousin that might have been helping you out and giving you a little cash here. $50,000 is enough for your cousin to call the feds on you. Hey, I know exactly where Antoine is. Antoine's staying down the street. Yeah, I know. You know, in fact, I'll help take you there. $50,000? $50,000 to turn in somebody that they are going to catch anyway. No one thinks that these two individuals are going to evade the police forever. They eventually are going to find you. Where are they going to find you? A couple of people have gotten outside the city. They arrested one person in Baton Rouge. They arrested 2 people this past weekend in Texas. So some of them have actually done a little bit of a move. Now, we don't know where these final 2 individuals are, But I'm telling you now, upping the reward money from 20 to 50, they're going to catch one of them by the end of the weekend. And I'm telling you, it is going to be somebody who has probably been helping this individual that now is going to be looking at, man, you know what I can do with $50,000? Now you're faced with the real decision on what you're going to do. You're not going to stay free for too much longer. Somebody is about to turn on you, Rob. That's how this story ends for one of those two individuals.
I mean, I'm surprised it took, what, 2 weeks now? 10 days for them to up the offer? I feel like, maybe they thought all the idiots were going to be in the French Quarter, but they upped the offer.
Really quick, though. I'm not surprised because upping the reward tells me you've reached a little bit of an impasse. You don't know where these two individuals are. You kind of had an idea with some of the other people, but now you're really racking your brain. You don't know where these next two people are. So you are hoping that this new wave of money now gets you some new leads, some new tips. People are calling in. People have already made the decision at 20 if they're going to turn on a man's or not. People have said, no, we're not turning on them. $50,000 leaves you with a real dilemma on what you're about to do. Granny, who the same one who was sending you the Cash App money a couple weeks ago, Granny might be the one to turn you in now for $50,000.
I mean, we just saw Granny a few weeks ago helping someone out. Now she's going to jail. You got to make sure Granny doesn't help out the criminals. You got to make sure Granny helps out the police. And you know what? Just keep upping that number. Now, I will say, as much as I make fun of these criminals, because a lot of them are caught, you know, walking distance from the jail, we did get one that, what, Baton Rouge? I mean, not great,
yeah,
but at least we're starting to escape.
You tried.
You gave a valiant effort. I don't think this last one gets popped in Louisiana. I think it's like Texarkana or something they get popped. I don't think this last one is in Louisiana. If they were, they would have had him by now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, this prison escape happened on May 16th. You've had 2 weeks. If you're still in Louisiana after 2 weeks where the police don't know where you are, you failed. You should just go back. You know what? You should call in the tip for yourself and now try to help your sister get $50,000. You should call in the police on yourself and try to help this scenario because you are not going to stay free for too much longer. So we have promised you guys we will give you updates on this. I am committed. Every day I got an update. We're giving you an update until these criminals are brought to justice. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about the story from Jeff Passan about Jack Caglione. We'll do that here coming up in a bit. But before we do that, I think that sometimes we are very, very premature to kind of throw rocks at young players in sports without acknowledging that it's all a process. I was on the social media and I'm seeing people call Anthony Edwards Cant Man, which is kind of funny, right? Like, all right, you know, I'm always here for the jokes. Anthony Edwards has taken his team to the Western Conference Finals twice. He's 23. Like, if you want to go through the history of the NBA and how many players at this stage in their career have been able to do that for their team, it's not a long list of people. Sometimes I think we forget, and I get it because these guys' careers start so earlier than they used to, that you're in the NBA at 19 years old. So a lot of the growth that you would do in college now happens in front of us in the NBA that I think we forget. Most people, when they start winning at professional sports, they usually don't start doing it until they're 25, 26, 27. We can go through the history of the league. There aren't a lot of 22-year-old champions in the league. Jordan wasn't a champion at 22. LeBron wasn't a champion at 22. That's usually not how this goes. You usually got to bump your head a few times and you eventually break through. We can use an NFL example. Yes, Mahomes is one of the few that won at early age. I mean, that's not how it happened for Brett Favre. That's not how it happened for Steve Young. That's not how it happened for John Elway. That's not what's happening with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. It usually takes you repeatedly failing in order for you to break through because it's really hard because only one person can win. This is not something where multiple people get to share the championship. No, this is not Mean Girls where we break the TR in the half and everybody gets to be the prom queen. No, only one person at the end of the season gets to wear the championship belt. So that means a lot of people get thrown out of the ring in the Royal Rumble on the way to being the champion. So I think that Anthony Edwards is right on schedule. The same way that Jason Tatum, just a year ago, people had these questions about Jason Tatum. He eventually won a championship because he's one of the five best players in the world. It took Jokic, and Jokic is amazing. It took him a couple of times of being eliminated early in the postseason. Giannis, the exact same deal. LeBron, Jordan, I can give you plenty of examples. Steph Curry, I can give you plenty of examples. You don't win your first championship usually in the NBA at 22, 23 years old. You usually get it at 25, 26, and 27. And usually what happens in sports and kind of what happens in life, you have way more failures than overwhelming success. Because what you are trying to get is really, really hard to obtain. You are trying to be the absolute best in a field. You know how hard it is to be the absolute best in an entire field? Really, really difficult to be. There's going to be a lot of people that are second, third, fifth in that are still really good, but never get to experience what it means to be number one on the list. So I think that Anthony Edwards is right on schedule. There are some things about Anthony Edwards' game that I would look to improve, that I would change, but at 23 years old in Minnesota and you taking that team to the Western Conference Finals in back-to-back years, I just feel like that's something we should celebrate, and maybe I'm asking too much of the internet, because usually what happens when you lose now in sports, we just instantly go to making fun of you. Man, it's really, really hard to win at this level in professional sports. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk about the story from Jeff Passan about Jack Caglione. Could he be coming up sooner than we think? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.